Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined by my man Wade Smith. Smitty, it's been a good day, baby. We're on the backside of this thing, brother.
No question about it. Let's get it, bro.
Let's get it. We're also joined right now by my man Bomani Jones. B, what's good? What's good, brother?
Doing all right, Matt. How are you?
Man, there it is. You can recognize that damn voice anywhere. You've been at it for a minute, Bomani. We recognize that voice, baby.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
Hey, talk to us a little bit about the 30 for 30 with Vic, man. I watched the initial episode last night, man. It was a hell of a deal. Obviously, you guys all did a hell of a job, man. What am I looking forward to with that in that part two?
Well, you know, now we get to the situation with fighting dogs in the second episode. I imagine that this will be a far more polarizing episode than the first one was. I think the first one gives you some backstory, and I think for people, especially for people who are younger, who don't have a grasp on how unreal Michael Vick was, I think it helps them to kind of lay eyeballs on him to get an idea as to why this was a big deal, why he was a guy that we paid attention to in the first place. And then from there, we start talking about, you know, what happened at that house and the things that he was responsible for, and then also what he did after the fact. Because I do think there's something to note about Vic, and I understand the people who find him to be irredeemable and unforgivable. Like, if that's where you are, I can't say I don't understand where you're coming from. But he really has done a lot to try to right the wrongs that he committed, and it's going to be a discussion of those things.
What do you think, Bomani, about Michael Vick as the football Vick, the college football Vick, getting to the league, playing that style of ball, the African-American quarterback, redefining that position with that athleticism as it pertains to what you see Lamar Jackson doing nowadays, Deshaun Watson doing nowadays? I mean, that was a pretty big turn in college football and in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, because when Vic comes around and people then say, I got to go find one of those, like, yo, they didn't make a whole lot of those, right? Like, you're not just going to go on the shelf and pick one of those up. And one of the things actually that happened with Vic that the film didn't explore, but it's a point that Harry Edwards makes all the time, that as Vic came around, the change that the league made with the rules was to make the penalties more punitive for roughing the passer, right? Like, it increased the premium on guys being in the pocket because Vic had just completely shattered what people thought was possible and what could be done at quarterback. And I think this part is important. They won games with him in Atlanta, right? Like, he got the Falcons to the NFC Championship game. They won the first ever road playoff win at Lambeau Field was the Falcons in January of 2003. Like, this wasn't just some sort of novelty act. There were ups and downs with it, but the Falcons were more successful than they had ever been up to that point with him.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm blown away with it right now. I can't wait to see the part two that you guys got ready to rock and roll. And hell, you just got me more excited about it, bro. Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about what's going on tonight in LA. Obviously the Lakers honoring Kobe tonight. The tragedy is heartbreaking. You know, what the family's going to have to go through or going through, not going to have to, is going through right now is absolutely heartbreaking. What you saw, Shaq, I know I saw on your social media that you were discussing Shaq's reaction and what TNT was able to do with that panel when that game was canceled the other night. You know, what just your thoughts on Kobe, your thoughts on what you'll see tonight, and what to expect tonight.
You know, this has been a rough week, even for people who weren't necessarily fans of Kobe Bryant. Like, this has been sobering in a way that I would not have expected, but I guess I have no way to say what I would have expected, because who would have expected Kobe Bryant to die at 41 years old? But for tonight, like, I always say that Magic Johnson is like the most well-liked man in Los Angeles, like the only man who had demonstrated the ability to unite that fragmented town. And Kobe Bryant, for a different generation, is that guy. Like, L.A. is not a melting pot, really. It's a bunch of people living next to each other, but not doing a lot of living together. The Lakers are really about the only thing that everybody in that area kind of comes together around. And so Kobe, for them, is their guy in a way that not even Magic was, because while he still played with the Lakers, they went with ups and downs, went through ups and downs with Kobe. Like the kind of things that people say in your own relationship, you're like, yo, well, that's why our bond is so strong. Well, you can make the argument about that with Kobe and them. So for tonight, for them to come out, it's going to be a massive, massive moment. Like that's one of those things you absolutely want to make sure you see.
Bomani, you talk about Kobe Bryant and his impact on the city of L.A. and basketball in general all over the world, man. Like, when you first heard the news, man, what was your initial reaction and how were you able to kind of deal with what was to follow with the tragedy of Kobe Bryant?
I think I started with just kind of a measure of disbelief, and then we were dealing with the information that was coming in and not verified. So I went from finding out that Kobe was dead to finding out that five people were in the helicopter, and then doing the math and trying to figure out, oh my gosh, was that his children? But I was like, nah, it wouldn't be. He has four children. They wouldn't all be on four. There would nobody else. And then it's just like, okay, maybe I should wait. And then finding out that his daughter died, and then finding out it was actually nine people that died, right? Like somehow it went from, it was at once not as bad as I thought it could be, but then also worse than I expected. And then from there, you know, doing this job, you start talking to people who are around not just basketball, but just people, you know, like people of the world. And this is the thing that they want to talk about. And it became just really clear how massive this was to so many people. And, you know, then, I, you know, when you go to work at ESPN, like on Monday, that's before people started leaving for the Super Bowl, man. Everybody's just kind of sad about the same thing, you know. It was just, it was everywhere in a way that part I would not have expected if you told me it was coming, is that this would just be everywhere in this way.
And listen, when you talked about the Super Bowl, you just mentioned it. It to you and to me, I've seen, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Is this not the weirdest Super Bowl week that you've experienced as somebody that's covered the game for such a long time, just based off of what happened with the Kobe Bryant situation?
Yeah, it's felt kind of secondary. And, like, off the top of my head, I can't point to exactly what, but I feel like at some point in the last couple of years, there was something that came up right before the Super Bowl that made things feel secondary. But, and this is a great game. Like, this is something that I'm really looking forward to seeing, but it's not something that I've honestly had to bandwidth to give that much attention to because of everything else that's gone on.
Hey, I know you're a Texas guy. A lot of people might know that. By the way, Bomani Jones of ESPN joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Bomani, you're obviously you're a Texas guy, man. You got some roots down here. I know you've been all over. Hell, you've moved around more than most athletes move around. But what, man, the Texans, look, I mean, they're in a position where the GM Bill O'Brien just got not promoted, but officially inked as the GM along with the head coach. Man, the fan base, I think, is torn with him getting more power when the team really can't get beyond winning the division, or they can't get to the point of where they're a true contender in the AFC. You know, what are your thoughts on the Texans being a native Texan here? What are your thoughts on them?
Look, man, I was in Houston when the Oilers left, or I was there like for the last season. My senior year of high school was the last year that the Oilers played in the city. And the thing that people always talk about, man, they had to save the Oilers rally, and I think 60 people showed up. Because when that city decides it's out on you, it is out. Like, before the World Series stuff was coming around, we had the stories about, you know, I know the cable deal was part of it, but the Astros getting those ratings of zero at that point. Like, when Houston decides it doesn't feel like doing this anymore, then they just not going to do it anymore. And I think it's fair to ask how long people are going to feel like doing this. Because after the way they lost in the playoffs, the idea that even if this is really just kind of a rubber stamp and a press release, the idea that this dude would publicly get some level of promotion after the way that they lost, that's a mind-blowing idea to me. So now he's got all the power. He really better win a lot this year. Because my thought has been, if you, as a general manager, make a trade of two first-round picks for any player, right? But that's what they did to get Laremy Tunsil. Hey, man, we got to win this year, right? There's no, we gave it the best we could. That's a win-now move, because you're going to have to pay the bill on that not too long. He's going to need the massive extension. Watson's going to need the massive extension. I don't see any way that this doesn't end in catastrophe.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, Bomani, I want to move it, because if I start talking about the Texans too long, I might get a little upset, and you saying things that are resonating with me right now. But I'm gonna move on to the Rockets, because, you know, I'm gonna keep myself in a good state of mind right now. But right now, the Rockets are kind of struggling. You know, James Harden is not playing to the caliber of player that he's been. He's struggling recently, and trying to figure out how to get the Rockets over the hump. And I put a trade proposal out there on the radio a little bit earlier today, and I want you to let me know if I'm absolutely crazy or is there something to this. Now, if you had an opportunity and you're the Rockets and you traded James Harden and Clint Capella to the Phoenix Suns for DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Tyler Johnson, and Tyler Johnson's a throw-in to make the money make sense, do you think that that trade would make the Rockets better? And do you think that's a trade that the Phoenix Suns would jump on to make happen?
The Suns would say yes so fast that you would quickly realize you had made a horrible mistake. You'd be like, yo, you're not even going to try to haggle with me? right? You're not even going to try to get a better deal? They're like, no, we are trying to do this before you change your mind. Nah. Like, I got my questions about Harden. But he's your guy. This is the thing to build around. Like, that guy you do not trade. And I understand why the Rockets did this, and I understand that they had to trade Chris Paul. But they traded Chris Paul and got back a player who's not as good.
Not well, wow. Nice. You got to explain that right there now.
Russ is going to put those numbers up for you. No question about that. But I am not sure. In fact, I think I looked it up the other day, and the Rockets are better with him off the floor than they are with him on the floor. Ain't really got to say much else.
Well, hey, what do you think? With that being said, I think I know the answer to this question, but they stack up against in the West, man. Look, the West is an absolute monster. It's gotten better. This is my take, Bomani. I felt like the Rockets were built. They regardless, last year with Paul, this year with Westbrook, the whole scheme, the D'Antoni approach, that was all built to slay the giant that once was the Golden State Warriors. They're no longer the giant in the West. In fact, the giants of the West don't look anything like the Golden State Warriors. The Rockets are in trouble with or without Westbrook and Harden, just simply based off of how they're built in 2020 in the monster that is the West.
No, I think that is a great point. Because I look at the Rockets, and they're sitting right now at like fifth in the West. How sure are we that the Rockets are getting out of the first round? Like, if they played against Utah in the first round, which way are you going? Because I definitely go Utah on that one. Like, how positive are we that this is going to be a team that's going to make it out of the first round of the playoffs? And if they don't make it out of the first round of the playoffs, how many people are going to get fired? Right? Like, is Daryl getting fired? And I know that the owner is very fond of Daryl, so like I know that would not be his inclination. But if this team were to lose in the first round of the playoffs, what happens?
Hey, what about? Look, I'm all over the spot here because I know you're from Texas. I want to get a take on all these cats, and Houston is throwing all radio gold at us, man. Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker is the new Astros manager. Long time MLB manager. He's got a resume a mile long, man. What did you think about that hire for the Houston Astros?
I think Dusty's a good manager, even if the impression that we have of him largely is not in line with the analytics-driven approach that the Astros have. But I think this is very transactional. I think Dusty looks at this and says, if I get a World Series, I'm in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's something that he wants. And for the Astros, this is the best manager who's not working, right? Like, no matter what you think about the fit, there's no better manager that you could go hire than Dusty Baker. And if you need to smooth some things over and calm some things down, he's good money for that.
Hey, Bomani, you'll like this. He came in his press conference. I don't know if you heard the whole thing or paid close mind to it, but he's 70 years old and he's got a 20-year-old son. So that tells you one thing. He spoke to the fan base in Spanish, and you being from Texas, you understand how impactful that can be down here. And then he alluded to the fact that he was listening to Too Short recently. So I think he's starting off on the right foot.
The only thing about that, he said, I was listening to Too Short, and Too Short said this is the last album. I know what album he's talking about. Too Short put out 11 albums after that. 11. I counted them.
That was on the Just Getting the album, though, right?
Yeah, that was on the Getting It. Like, that would be – like, Getting It would be a track that you could absolutely see Dusty Baker riding to, right? With
no
the
question.
People on it, you could totally see that.
hey, let's jump to this Super Bowl with some predictions, man. Where's your mind at? Who you taking? And what are some surface thoughts on the Super Bowl Sunday this week?
Yeah, I'm leaning toward Kansas City because, like, really, if this feels like even money and I got to pick between the team with Mahomes and the team with Garoppolo, it feels almost silly to go with the one with Garoppolo. The question I think for Kansas City is going to be if they can block those power forwards at defensive tackle up front and, like, stop them from coming through the middle, then Mahomes is going to have time to get the ball away, and I don't think that San Francisco can keep up with those little fast dudes. But if those power forwards are getting through, everything changes.
That's Bomani Jones on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. B, man, I appreciate you for joining us, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, be good.
All right, out.
That's Bomani Jones, man. I could go. You know, it's crazy how – what if somebody called you? Like, I literally hit him up an hour ago.
On Twitter, right?
I've known Bomani. He's a Texas guy, and we've gone back and forth on some stuff before. It's really cool because somebody was actually popping off, like, right when Twitter first started. And I didn't know he was a Texas guy, so he hit me up and went back and forth on it.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, how would you feel going on radio in New York and them asking you questions about the Yankees and asking you questions? You're one of those like, whoa, wait a minute now.
Yeah, but see, that's why he's at the level that he is, because he has his pulse on everything that's going on in sports. And that's why we were jumping all around, because, like, hold on, I want to hear what he got to say about this. Yeah. I want to hear what – and Houston is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to – things to talk about. And you mentioned that to Bomani, like, listen, you got the Astros getting a new manager, you got Bill O'Brien being dubbed the GM, you got the Super Bowl going on right now, Kobe Bryant, a lot of different things that you want to hit. And so I thought that was an awesome job by Bomani, man. That's why he is who he is.
Solid, man. Solid. Wait, let's jump in on some of these lines, man. I don't even know that I would mess with the line on this game. Like, I mean, hell, you're picking them straight up, right?
Yeah.
I'm staying away from it. I'll go with the over. I'll go with the over in this game. I don't care. I don't care if it's my what was my prediction? 31,
you said 31-21.
So it's got to be 51.
The over, I thought it was 54.
I got to see it. B-Mac, pull up. What's the latest line? I know it bumped up from 51, so
it's 54.
I guess it's 54. I got to stick with my prediction, and I got to go with the under.
Go with the under, but see,
so I got to go against it.
I predicted 34-31, and I'm pretty confident in that score because I think both offenses are going to be able to move the ball up and down the field. So I'm going to go with the over there.
Going with the over. How about this? Odds to win the MVP. Patrick Mahomes, 36%. What's 36% of the handle? What the hell does that mean, B-Mac?
That just means 36% of the action, of the bets.
36% of the bets are on Pat Mahomes to win the MVP.
It's a solid bet. I mean, if you think that the Chiefs are going to win the game, Pat Mahomes is going to be the reason why they win the game, and he's going to be the MVP.
Patrick Mahomes, Raheem Mostert, 16%. Jimmy Garoppolo, 12%. I mean, you've got – golly, man –
if you think the 49ers are going to win this game, you're going to have a hell of a time trying to figure out who's going to be the MVP of this ballgame. I mean, you could make a huge case for, like, Joey Bosa winning the MVP, or Warner, or Quan Alexander. There's going to be a lot of guys that if the 49ers win this game, Mostert, it could be Tevin Coleman, it could be anybody, Garoppolo, anybody, Kittle. It could be any of those guys on the 49ers team because they're so balanced. And there's a lot of different guys. For them to win the game, there's going to have a lot of different guys play well.
Well, to your point, Patrick Mahomes is 36%, and the other four on the list are all 49ers.
There you go.
Your top five got this. one Kansas City Chief in it. Patrick Mahomes passing yards, over under 305.
Yards. We're talking about
yards. It's actually 305 and a hook, by the way. 305 and a half. So if you go, you need 306.
I'm going to say over. 34-31, ooh. I got to go over. Got to go over.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number, but like I said, I got to stick with my original score, and that'll lead me along the rest of my prop bets.
Jimmy Garoppolo, passing yards, over under, 239.5.
I'm going to go under. He might throw for 212 yards, but they're still going to put up a bunch of points.
Okay,
so
I can ride with
that. I'll go with the under on Garoppolo.
Travis Kelce, total receiving yards, 75.5.
Over.
Over?
Easy.
Man, hey, you got
Kelce. Over, yeah.
You've taken so far every one of the favorites. Pat Mahomes, over 305, 67% of the bets are on there. Jimmy Garoppolo, you went under 239.5, 52% of the bets on there. Travis Kelce, total receiving yards, and you went what?
Over.
Over. 72% of the bets are on Travis Kelce to go.
Some smart bettors in the world right
over
now.
Over 75 and a half. You might need to go to Vegas, man. You might need to call the bookie, baby. Longest field goal scored, 46 and a half yards.
You got to go over on that. Over on it. Both of the field goal kickers are pretty good.
Under. 70% of the money's on the under right there, bro.
Yeah, somebody will kick a 48-yard field goal.
Outdoor, Miami.
It's Miami. As long as it's not raining. You know what I mean?
Will Tom Brady be mentioned on TV during the broadcast?
Of
yes or no?
Of course he will.
72% said yes. How many times will Mike Shanahan be shown on TV during the broadcast? The over, under, 1.5?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to say over, because San Francisco's going to win, and so they're going to show Shanahan probably 3 times.
That'd be a hell of a deal if they started the game and said, Kyle's dad will not be able to make it today. He had a prior engagement. That'd be like, whoa.
Bad parenting, bro. You don't make up to, you don't show up to your own kid's Super Bowl? Like, nah, that's bad parenting.
Right, right. That's Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Wade, man, it's been real, brother. It's been real. It's game time now. Next time we talk, we will the Super Bowl will have been played, and we'll know who the champion is.
Yeah, man, it's always real when I kick it with you on the air, man. I enjoy it, and looking forward to a great Super Bowl, man. It's going to be a great game. I think this is going to be one that comes down to the wire, and that's all you can ask for. When your team's not in it, I want to see two teams that can compete and make it come down to the wire, and so I think that's what we're going to see on Sunday.
I got
to
make me a quick stop, pick up the Coors Light for the party. I tell you what else I'm going to do. I got to call Lopez. I supposed to do this 2 days ago. I got to call Lopez and figure out how you make – like, I want street tacos with the little chunks of beef.
Yeah.
You know, they do that little cubed pieces of beef instead of the stripped
fajitas. Yeah.
I want street tacos with a little cubed meat. I need to know the best way to do that right there. I'm not much of a cook, so I need a little bit of help. And my man John Lopez is my go-to when it comes to something like that. So I gotta figure that out. We're gonna have some cold Coors Light, we're gonna have some tequila, and we're gonna have some tacos and watch some football. Baby.
I tell you what, I can appreciate some tacos, but it's gonna be a barbecue, hot dog, hamburgers, and all that type of stuff at my crib on Sunday night.
There you have it. Houston, thank you so much for listening. We greatly appreciate your support. To all the pro franchises in the city of Houston, thank you for giving us all the meat to chew on right there. Houston, I'm Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, my man B-Mac behind the glass. We're out of here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.